Thank you, Beth. Hi, my name is Elizabeth B. in Oregon, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm really grateful to be here today. I'm wearing a different hat than I normally do at this meeting. So if anyone's coming in, they're like, what? What? It was on purpose. So I like to start my shares with a couple of preliminaries. But first, I'm going to start with a prayer. God, please help me to speak the truth from my heart. To carry the message. So I like to share that the opinions are mine. Take what you like and leave the rest. I like folks to understand that I was instructed to listen for the similarities and not the differences. I also know that I can get so many resentments going to 12-step meetings. So if I say anything this evening that causes a resentment, I know for me, clearing that out in a 10-step does wonders. Talking to my sponsor or another trusted fellow about it does wonders. I also know that my program catapulted into the next dimension when I got a sponsor, which is what I'm going to focus on tonight. So my recommendation is that folks avail themselves of the miracles this program has to offer in working with a
Excuse me,
sponsor.
Elizabeth. How do you want your time, please?
Oh, I can see it on the timer. We're good. Yeah, thank you.
Sorry to bother you.
Thank you for your service. Yeah. So I know for me that my program really catapulted into the next dimension when I started working with a sponsor. So I highly recommend getting a sponsor sooner rather than later, ideally before the end of the month. Gives you a couple of weeks to find one. And then lastly, relapse sadly is a part of my story. I don't recommend it. It is a part of my story. So I really encourage folks to keep coming back. You know, if you're brushing the crumbs off your chest before this meeting started, and if you're going to find them after the meeting, like I did many times, planning a binge during a meeting, I just know for me that, you know, keeping coming back was pivotal to my recovery. So I'm not going to go into my story because that's not the focus of tonight, but what I want to talk about is a couple of things. I want to talk about both being sponsored and being a sponsor. We haven't heard a lot in the couple of weeks that we've been this meeting's been in play around what it's like to be sponsored. And let me tell you, it is terrifying. It is terrifying. Terrifying. I started Overeaters Anonymous 30 plus years ago in the mid 1990s. I was a young person. I was a teenager. In fact, I'd just gotten my driver's license. And I drove myself to my first meeting. And what they talked about at the meetings in the Midwest of the United States at that time was to get a home group and to attend the meetings unless you were sick, dead, or out of town, to get a sponsor and to have that person take you through the steps and to, get a service position at your meeting, and to get a to be abstinent. Back then, we had abstinent. We didn't have a food plan. And back in the meetings where I was attending, they talked about sugar and flour being fifth ingredient or less on anything that you were consuming. And so I'm a very good student. I'm a people pleaser. I did what I was told. I got a sponsor, and I've been sponsored by many people throughout these 30 plus years. I'm not somebody who came in and has the same sponsor. That's not my story. So, if you've had several sponsors over a year or over decades, doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong, right? I sponsor so that I can carry the message. I sponsor so that I can stay abstinent. And so, if it works out with somebody for decades, dynamite. If it does not, I thank them very much for their service. I leave with integrity and I go find someone who can help me, right? So, asking someone to sponsor is like worse than trying to get a date for prom, right? Because it's like they're going to reject me. Like, what if they say no? What if they say yes? What am I going to do? There were many years when I would go to meetings in person because I'm kind of pre-Zoom, and somebody would be the lead share, and I'd run up to them afterwards like, "Oh my gosh, your share was amazing! I'm ready to commit. Can you be my sponsor?" And she'd give me her number, and like I would never call her, right? I'd be too terrified. I would lose that pizzazz and that joie de vivre that I had during that meeting, and then I'd be so ashamed when I'd see them again at another meeting, right? I would kind of duck and I'll kind of like not make eye contact, and I didn't know at the time what I know now, which is that People sponsor. I sponsor. I sponsor so that I can carry the message. I sponsor so that I can keep it green. I sponsor because it's a 12-step program. It's not an 11-step program. And the 12th step says that I carry the message. Having had a spiritual awakening, I can't carry the message if I haven't gotten the message. Having had a spiritual awakening, right? I carry the message to other compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all my affairs. Right. So I think we sometimes forget the practicing the principles in all my affairs part, because it's hard to live out there in the world when other people aren't doing what I want them to do and how I want them to do it. Right. So I don't just practice these principles inside the 12-step rooms. I practice them everywhere I go, in the line at the post office, with the fool at the airport who's trying to cut me off, at the TSA security check, right? Like somebody at work, like I practice this in all my affairs. Because like someone said early in my recovery, you might be the only big book somebody ever sees. So let me get back on topic. Asking for someone to sponsor me is terrifying. So I'd run up after the meeting, and then I'd ask them to sponsor me, and then I wouldn't call them back, and I would peter out. But when I finally got someone, not finally got someone, but I finally committed, right? I would call someone, and typically they would kind of give me their pitch, right? Kind of their spiel. It's basically how they work with sponsees. It's not so much requirements as it is if you're willing to go to any lengths, right? You are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way. But we could not. So, if they're asking me to do certain things, if I want what they have, I've got to do what they're asking me to do. And so, you've all heard me say it before. If you've ever heard me share, I'm a really firm believer in the tools, right? The tools help me work the steps. The steps give me that spiritual awakening and that conscious contact with my higher power. My higher power keeps me abstinent. No human power could do it. Not my sponsor, not my food plan, not the meetings. My higher power keeps me abstinent. And then I can't stay abstinent, y'all, without working those tools. And so sponsorship is a tool, but it's also it's how I get into, the heart of recovery and the heart of this program. And so it's terrifying. It's terrifying to ask someone if they like me, what if they don't like me, what if they're judging me, what are they going to ask me to do, right? It's hard work, right? I had a lot of really bad things happen to me as a really young person, and I did not trust people, period. I did not trust women. There's a whole lot of women in OA. God bless the men in OA, but I was taught to get a female sponsor, and I did not trust women. Right. And so I had a lot of trouble trusting, my sponsor. Not because like they did anything or they broke my anonymity or they posted my fifth step, on the wall, but it's because I just didn't like people. I didn't trust people, period. And so now I had to call somebody regularly and tell them what I was eating and tell them what I was thinking, tell them what I was feeling. Like that's terrifying for me. It's terrifying. So I sometimes forget because I've been around forever and this has become such ingrained in my life. I forget how vulnerable people are when they're making that call to me to ask me if I'd be willing to sponsor them. And so I've really, in the last couple of weeks, because if you know me, you know that I don't mess around and I am not touchy-feely usually. And I'm kind of like, a force of nature, which can scare a lot of people, including people I love. And so I have had to like backpedal a little bit and remember that folks are super vulnerable. I was super vulnerable when I asked somebody to sponsor me. And so I've had to just, I don't water down the program. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about half measures. I'm just talking about the empathy. I'm just talking about the deer in the headlights, the desperation, the pain and suffering that I was feeling when I first came in and then when I was coming out of the relapse. So I was also kind of tall. I've got kind of like throwing out little like tidbits that I've learned over the decades. If I'm not a little bit tiny afraid of my sponsor, then like maybe I don't have the right sponsor, right? If my sponsor doesn't appear on my fourth step or my 10th step at some point, Maybe I don't have the right sponsor because I want somebody to tell me the truth and not to co-sign my baloney or my BS, right? And so if I got a sponsor who's agreeing with everything I say and who totally endorses all of my wackadoodle, ideas that are coming on like day seven abstinent, week seven, working through the steps, I might not have the right person, right? Because I want my sponsor to call me out on things. I want my sponsor to be like, well, in my experience, that so here's a recent one, y'all. I got my hair cut. My hair's been longer down past my shoulders for, I don't know, 10 years now. And I wanted to change. I wanted something new. I wanted to cut. And like, I got my hair cut yesterday. It's awful. It's terrible. I wanted shoulder length to like ease my way up. She cut it to my chin, right? The fullest part of my face. I look like an upside down mop on a humid day. And I'm like, my sponsor told me so. She told me to go slow. Like, she told me not to, like, move too fast. Now, I'm not saying that I have to ask my sponsor to get my hair cut. I'm saying that I talk to my sponsor about all areas of my life. And my sponsor has been around a minute, has seen other people she sponsored and worked with do certain things at certain times in their recovery, and just throws a few flags on the play and is like, you might consider going a little slowly. You might want to talk to your hairdresser first and see if she even knows how to cut hair, because all she's ever done is take your dead ends off. Does she even know how to cut hair? No. I'm just going to start small. So, and we'll get through it. I'll get through it. It's hair, it'll grow back. But the idea is that my sponsor knows and my sponsor calls me out. And if she's not calling me out, then like maybe I'm not working with the right person, right? So I'm going to talk about I sponsor now. I sponsor using the big book. I haven't always sponsored that way. I've used the OA 12 and 12. I've used the OA workbook. I've used the AA 12 and 12. I've used a combination of first we do the big book, then we do the OA, then we do the AA, and it like took a really long time. That's not how I sponsor anymore. Currently, I've become a real big fan of something they did not have, eons ago when I started, something called the 12-day sponsor, like my first 12 days, I don't know exactly what it's called. It's a pamphlet they've got with accompanying questions. And I have found that it's not the steps. I'm not taking anybody through the steps. It's almost like boot camp or like reintroduction. It's like orientation. If you all ever went to college or started a new job and you have to go in and like sign all the forms and they show you where the cafeteria is and they show you where your homeroom is and here's your locker and here's the acronyms that we use and here's the lingo and here's our fight song, like all that kind of stuff. That's what the first 12 days is for me. It's to get somebody, I say, typically do it with someone who's been around or who's recommitting. I don't usually do it with a brand new person, to get them tethered back into program. Because I was adrift when I was in relapse. And I was adrift when I was here and I was just talking the talk, but not walking the walk. And so it helps get somebody tethered and get them started. Sometimes I'll then convert to their sponsor to actually take them through the steps as outlined in the big book. Other times they find somebody else by attending meetings, by taking phone numbers, and by calling people. So now I recommend that folks have a couple of questions ready for a potential sponsor. And so, yes, as a sponsee, I'm supposed to take direction. And yes, as a sponsee, I'm supposed to be willing to go to any lengths. But I also have to make sure that we are going to just work from a very operational, mechanical level. I live on the West Coast. I work for income outside the home. I have two small children under the age of six. I have a spouse. These are all miracles. Be careful what you wish for. You might just get them. My life is very full and very busy. I cannot do whack-a-mole with my scheduling. I cannot have somebody talk to me at 3:45 on a Tuesday and 1:45 on a Wednesday and 8:23 on a Thursday because my life will implode. So if I have a sponsor who's got a calendar that's kind of like, we'll fit you in and we'll figure you out, or every day is different, that would not work for me, just operationally. Not because her message isn't strong, not because she doesn't have dynamite recovery, because I have to like make sure that I'm setting myself up for success, right? I don't work with people intensively who are in other time zones because of the calendar bingo that becomes a nightmare, right? It doesn't mean I don't have outreach calls. I have scheduled calls with people in Switzerland. I've got calls with people all over the world that we schedule once a week or every other week. I definitely have people in my running crew and God squad who are all over the world. But if I'm taking somebody through the big book, we're working for 30 to 45 minutes on kind of a 5 to 7 day basis. My availability is usually after my kids go to bed, roughly 8 p.m. Pacific. It's just not going to work. Just again, operationally, right? And then I help folks, so have some questions like, what time do we talk? Do we talk at the same time every day? How long do we talk? Those things are important, right? Because nothing's going to get me a resentment faster than trying to like stop my day and figure out how to reschedule somebody and burn half the week trying to get them back on the calendar. And we've just lost 4.5 days of solid work to get you through the steps, right? So it's just my experience. People have all different kinds of things. People are in different phases of their life. That's fine, right? But for where I am today, I just have to be honest around what works for me and what doesn't. So operational questions, right? And then kind of, or like logistic ones, right? What book do you use to sponsor, or what literature do you use, right? So if I'm looking for a big book sponsor, I'm not going to want someone who's going to take me to the OA workbook, period, right? So nothing wrong with that. I just need to know if we're going to mesh, okay? The next thing I need to understand is, do we talk about the food or not? Some lines of sponsorship don't talk about the food. Some folks want you to commit it every night. Again, there's no good or bad. It's just I need to know what I need and what works for me. I need to have some accountability around the food. I don't want to bifurcate and have a step sponsor and a food sponsor and a whatever sponsor because then I'll forum shop, which means I'll try to go to the person who's going to give me the answer that I want. Because as an addict and as a compulsive overeater and as a selfish, self-centered person, I'm going to go try to find the person who's going to co-sign my BS. And so I don't bifurcate, and I don't recommend that people I work with do. Again, that's just my experience. That's what's worked for me. That's how I sponsor people because I know that as I'm going to quote my favorite part of chapter 6, might be my favorite part of the whole book. It's also needles on a chalkboard, so get ready if you need to do a 10 step. Bottom of page 73, we must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. So they're talking here more around going out and doing your fifth step, right? But I equate it to my life in general, working with a sponsor, working with a sponsee, because I'll tell you what, my sponsor, I mean, she cares and she wants me to be abstinent and she wants me to be recovered and she wants me to have conscious contact with my higher power. But it's not anything on her if I'm sitting over here lying and I'm eating three snacks a day when my food plan has one, or if I'm making zero outreach calls and my baseline is making three a day, right? If I'm in lies and if I'm dishonest, it's not going to affect her recovery, right? It's going to affect mine, right? But to my point at the beginning of the meeting, and I see I have 2 minutes left, it's terrifying to be honest with anybody because I wasn't even honest with myself. I wasn't even honest with myself. I didn't even know the lies I was telling myself. So I just, I really want to emphasize or I want to remind myself that this is about a relationship, right? Sponsoring somebody and working intensively with somebody else is about having a relationship, of which, by the way, I was not very good at when I came in. And I still have to use the steps to make sure that I get better at a day at a time, right? Having a 10 step, having 11 step conscious contact, having 12 steps, right? So I just have to remember that this is ultimately the relationship. I'm not the food police. I'm not the marital counselor. I'm not the financial planner. I'm not the hairstylist, although I do have some opinions, right? I am a guide through the forest. 10 miles into the forest, 10 miles out. I am on the path. I've been through the forest. I know which stream has clear water. I know which rock gets slippery in the morning. I know which tree not to stand under because the birds like to poop there in the afternoon. And so I'm just pointing these things out to the fellow traveler on the path, a couple of steps behind me. And I'm not asking anybody to do anything that I haven't done. I've got my pack on. I've got my hat on. I've got my sunscreen on. I've got my water canteen, and I am hiking through the forest as well. And so I am just a guide through the forest, right? And I am a guide to get you in touch with your higher power to have that spiritual awakening. Because it says, I will close with this. I see I'm about to run out of time. You know, it's like the ABCs they talk about in chapter five, how it works. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after, because I have adventures after, make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, includes a sponsor. See that God could and would if he were sought. So we're just hiking through the forest, seeking our higher power. And I'm just someone who's a couple of steps ahead, pointing out things that I've observed and noticed, making sure folks don't slip on the rock that I've slipped on. And if they slip, I reach out my hand, we get up, we dust ourselves up, and we figure out what the next action is, right? That's how I view sponsorship. So I'm going to pause and end there. And I'm so grateful to be here. And that's my time. Thanks for letting me share.